Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
Hello again. Welcome to BS Free MD with your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh. And we like to dive into all kinds of things on our show, the absurdities of medicine, a little sprinkling of Tim's humor, and we like to serve it all up with some serious, no BS information. And today we are excited to welcome our special guest, Flo Crivello, the visionary founder and CEO of Lindy.ai, medical scribe. Flo's mission with Lindy is revolutionary in that they're building a virtual employee-capable AI program, starting with an AI medical scribe designed to transform how patient visits are charted and all tailored in your preferred format, which is unique. Before embarking on this journey, though, Flo honed his skills as an engineer and product leader at Uber, where he developed a knack for creating innovative solutions to complex problems. And with Flo's help, we'll get into the world of AI and healthcare, the incredible potential of AI scribes, and how they're reshaping the future of medical documentation, and even us old farts can learn new tricks. So welcome to the show, Flo, and thanks for being a sponsor to BS Free MD and being here to talk about your tech and how it's going to revolutionize transcribing for old people who don't like tech as well as young people who are used to it. Yeah.
I'm going to save the world, actually. Save healthcare, at least.
So why don't you start, Tim, with, you know, before we were recording, you were going on your famous rant about how much we hated using the software that we had, typing the dragon dictation that never worked. It was just a mess.
Well, if you actually look at surveys on physician burnout, the single thing that comes up the most often is the EMR. So the way we interface with the patient to essentially document what we're doing so our colleagues know what we're doing, and then, of course, communicate to insurance companies so we all get paid, that interface is awful.
And that's the reason
it's
awful.
Quit. There's a ton of them, yeah. And they're awful. Ubiquitously awful. The VA has the best one according to surveys of about 3 to 5 years ago, but they're all awful and they're all frustrating. And physicians uniformly say that that's the biggest contributor to burnout. So if we can make the awful efficient, that absolutely alters healthcare. Like May said, that was the biggest reason for her quitting medicine, was like, I cannot deal with this nonsense technology. And like I've always said, hard work does not burn people out. Physicians work hard. They worked hard to get into medical school. They work hard to take care of their patients. They lose sleep. Hard work does not burn people out. Useless work burns people out. That is the key. It's meaningless work burns people out. Clicking boxes literally hundreds of thousands of times a month makes smart people crazy. Right. Flo is here to change
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, now that we've going on.
Before we get into it,
I want to know first, though, how did you get from Uber to doing this, a medical scribing company, Lindy AI? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I always had it in the back of my mind when I was at Uber that at some point I would want to start a startup. Like, you sort of catch the bug when you're at Uber because there's just so much entrepreneurial energy around. And I think what really tipped me over the edge was the realization that a lot of traits of mine that are weaknesses in a corporate environment or strengths in an entrepreneurial environment, right? So like I'm a very impatient guy. I don't suffer fools. I don't like working with people that I don't think are not A+, right? And so this in a corporate environment where you're supposed to get along with everyone and go through the process and all of that, like I was not a fit for me, right? And so I would lose patience and like it would come up, you know, during performance reviews and all of that. It's like, Flo, you know, you're doing awesome, but like, you know, this and this, you've got a little bit of a rough edge to yourself. And so I was like, hey, I can either work on these aspects of myself, or I can put myself in a different context where these weaknesses are turned into strengths. So that's really what made me decide to just start a startup. And, you know, I'd been passionate about AI ever since college. Like I had studied AI, I've got a degree in computer science. And so I had studied AI in college. And I've been passionate about it ever since. And so I've been following the improvement of these AI systems over the last decade. And boy, have they improved. They've really made huge strides in the last few years. And so it was just obvious that, you know, this was the thing to work on.
Wow.
How did you get to healthcare? Because, I mean, like, this is such a nidus of frustration, as you can see, for me and for so many physicians.
Yeah, did you have an inside friend?
Are you married to a doctor? Did you go to the doctor and you're like, why the hell are you not looking at me and you're just looking at a computer? Like, where did it come from?
It's a friend of mine, actually. So the vision of the company is we're building an AI employee that automates rote work. Like you said, meaningless work. And I was catching up with some friends around a dinner party, and the fiance of a friend of mine, she's a doctor in the Bay Area. And she was like, oh my God, you know, one thing you could automate for me is scribing and not taking and updating my EMR. And she was telling me exactly what you were just saying now, Tim. It's like these EMRs, they aren't changing. And insofar as they are changing, they aren't getting better, right? They're getting worse over time. The situation is getting worse and worse and worse, right? It's like they're very clunky. We're asking burnt out, overworked, 40-year-old doctors who I'm sorry are not necessarily tech savvy, right? They didn't sign up to be computer scientists or to work in IT. And we're giving them the worst software out there. And we're asking them to spend hours and hours every week updating that thing, right? And so when she walked me through her process, including the note-taking part, I was like, I can't believe that's a thing. I was totally blind to this problem. And so we signed that friend up as an advisor. She was our first design partner. And you know, this is how we came about to the Lindy Medical Scribe product.
Yeah, I mean, I think back, this is dating us. And, you know, it's always easy for us older people to go back in the day. But it was easier when we had the paper charts because we literally would have the little handheld tape recorder. And we would, at the end of the visit or at the end of the day, but dictate into it really quickly the soap note. It would, you know, record it. We would hand it off, put it in a little envelope, and the lady would come, or man, but usually it was women, that they would take it home, type it in, put it in, stick it in the chart note. But it was fast, efficient. I said my words, she would transcribe it, done. And now, obviously, things are more complex with having an electronic medical record with, you know, labs and entry. But the biggest part of it, the note, you know, you'd think, oh, we actually went in reverse, because now and a lot of people who aren't, you know, familiar with it that are listening to the show, you have to go in and click boxes to undo things, like to say, well, this is normal, or They didn't want you to put in, oh, this exam is all abnormal, or unclick a box. I mean, it's clunky. I should just be able to put in the pertinent information for my specialty, my job, what I'm doing, whether you're in family practice to whether you're a neurosurgeon, design your note the way you want and do it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. But these EMR systems require you to actually do something in there, positive or negative action. It's time consuming. Sometimes you have to figure out the box. It's just awful. So it was faster 30 years ago just to type, do a little note, have someone type it. And now you're kind of bringing that back in a new way with the AI scribe, but better. So let's talk about how it actually works, how the AI medical scribe works and what it does.
Yeah, it's very simple. It scribes for you. So the way it works is you open up Lindy, you're in front of a patient, you press a button, it starts listening and transcribing the conversation. We're using voice recognition engines that are specially tuned on medical language. And once you're done with the conversation, you press the button again, and it gives you a well-formatted SOAP note or any form of patient documentation that you need.
Like it used to be, I would only even better because, you know, I'm just talking into the recording, but now it's organizing things.
That's exactly right. And then in one click, you can just copy any section of the SOAP notes or of any custom templates that you've created and paste it in your EMR. So you don't even need to keep IT in the loop or anything like that. It's just one click sent to your EMR by pasting the notes, essentially. The long-term hope is that doctors never have to touch a keyboard again. Like, no one became a doctor because they wanted to take notes in their EMR all day. People became doctors because they want to help their patients. So the hope is that we give doctors time back. Our customers are reporting we're giving them 15 minutes back per consultation. We give them time back and we help them provide better care for their patients. Well, they're actually spending time with their patients instead of being behind a keyboard and a monitor taking notes during the consultation.
Well, no, and that's exactly right. That is the goal. You never interface with a keyboard. So does Lindy, how does it interface with various EMRs that already exist? Because there's what, 4 or 5 really popular ones, and then there's God knows how many other
smaller
players.
Some don't allow you to copy and paste even within their own system. So that's my big question too, is how do you do that?
Yeah.
Do all systems allow? Yeah.
Yeah. We have seen, so far it's worked with every EMR that our customers have tried with. So you get the note back from Lindy. There are multiple sections and there are buttons to copy each individual section or a button to copy the entire note provided by the EMR, by Lindy. And then you can go to your EMR and paste these individual sections in given fields. Once we've run into an EMR that tried to prevent that, so you can't control V to paste, what our customer has to do in this case is right click and paste. In the not too distant future, Lindy will integrate it directly with the EMR and manipulate the EMR directly. So you don't even need to do that. It just goes straight to your EMR.
Wow.
What about billing?
Yes.
Are you going to have a billing piece? Because let's be honest, most of the EMRs, especially Epic, which is the biggest in the world, or at least the biggest in the United States, started as a billing program. And then it was basically backfilled into an EMR. And it's very obvious that billing is the priority when you use that.
We do help with billing. So the idea of Lindy is you can install as many AI employees as you want that can help you with various things. And so the medical scribe is one of these AI employees, but we also have a billing assistant that helps with ICD-10 billing and coding. And so that is also one of the favorite templates that our customers are using right now.
So can you explain how, because there's other AI programs out there. So I know that Lindy has a few features that make it a little bit more unique and customizable. Can you explain and expand on that a little bit, how you can customize it? And it's not just for physicians, but can be cross specialties as well as other fields in medicine, right?
So we offer a lot of different pre-made templates for different occupations, whether you're a psychiatrist or a chiropractor or physical therapist and so forth. So you can install these templates and then you can customize them yourself. And the way you customize your Lindy experience is just by having a conversation with Lindy. So you can just tell her either from the get-go or after she sent you her first note, you can tell her, hey, moving forward, I would rather the note look like this or that. And so little by little, Lindy gets better and better the more you use her. So this customization ability and this conversational experience is one big difference between Lindy and the other providers out there. I would also say just generally the accuracy of the transcription and of the note taking, right? So we use the voice recognition engine that is, again, especially tuned on medical languages, on a prescription, on names of drugs, especially for like psychiatric drugs. Like sometimes it's like very complex and this just handles it beautifully. And we also use an AI model that was specifically tuned on this task of medical scribing. So it does provide much higher reliability and performance than other solutions.
So what are you seeing so far in terms of use of this? Is it physicians in independent practices, groups? What specialists tend to be using this more right now?
It's really all over the map. I would say it leans on the smaller side today. I think just because the smaller practices are the ones that are most overwhelmed and they tend to adopt this kind of innovation earlier. But otherwise, as far as the occupations are concerned or the specialties, it's really all over the map. We've got chiropractors, we've got veterinarians using it, we've got psychotherapists, we've got psychiatrists. It is really well-tuned for all of these different occupations, and we do offer templates for all of these different occupations.
Well, I could see in psychiatry how this would be unbelievably powerful, because you can't be sitting there, you know, in an intense conversation about somebody's mental health and just be like hammering away on a keyboard. I mean, so what they do, I mean, obviously, is they have to take notes because these are often hour-long visits and they're very intense and very detailed. And then you have to go back and hammer away at the keyboard
again
for, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour after you've seen the patient. So this idea that you have an engine that's interpreting what you're saying, understanding what you're saying, collating it into a cogent note, which you can edit. And then every time you edit it, the AI learns how it's so the editing becomes less and less and less as the program learns exactly what you want.
Exactly. And actually, one of our best customers, her name is Kirby Williams, and she has her own practice. She has her own business. So she's totally overwhelmed under the paperwork and all the administrative. Yeah. And so she doubly appreciates that. She describes it as an integral part of her workflow. And I totally agree with you, Tim, that psychiatry is a particularly good fit for AI scribes for two reasons. For the clinician, the HPI, right, the history of present illness, for psychiatry is basically a biography, right? This can take half an hour to just get the HPI out of the way, right? And for the patient, like you said, it's a very deep, personal, vulnerable conversation. And you don't want to be talking with someone who's behind the monitor taking notes during the conversation. It's just much more relatable if the person is having the computer on the side and can actually make eye contact with you and talk with you and have an actual conversation with you and just take care, like lets the AI take care of the note taking.
Absolutely. I can, you know, think of so many instances where we've had that happen and you're in the middle of an important conversation. I'm thinking of even oncology visits where, you know, you're talking about life, death, medical decision-making that, in, you know, these serious conversations and then something happens and then you're like, oh crap, hang on a minute. You know, my computer just fragged. I got to reboot it. And then you get distracted. I mean, it is just so horrific and impersonal. And I've had that even on the other end as being a patient and you're in there and your doctor's doing whatever and not even making the eye. I mean, it really is interrupting the beauty of medicine. So to get back to the way we used to be is.
Right. But it's so like you think of the visits that we've had personally in the last while, you know, with your surgeries. And like when in the history of mankind has innovative technology required more employees? And so you go into the visit, you have the surgeon, they might have a student, and then they have a scribe. It's like the technology that's supposed to save us is so bad, you have to have an extra human being present to actually, like when you look at this from a 30,000 foot view, it's so completely insane, but it's because it's driven by billing. It's because now the insurance companies and the you know, government regulators are requiring so much data that you have to have a computer to click the boxes. So you have to hire more people because the technology can't come, you know, keep up with those demands. And so when I see this AI stuff, like we talked to some older colleagues and they're, oh, no, that's crap. A machine can't do whatever. And I'm like, no, no, it's here. It's not like AI is coming. It's here. You have to figure out how to embrace this or you are not going to be left behind as the Titanic drifts off. You're going to be left behind as the like speedboat whizzes, it speeds away from you as you drown. Like this is the reality of the world. Good, bad, ugly, I don't know, but we better figure out how to make it work for us because it's here already.
100%. And I think it's mostly good. Like you said, like it blows my mind. I had no idea until this conversation with my friend over dinner that doctors and nurses were spending that much of their time just typing behind a screen. It breaks my heart that people are spending their time doing this.
Oh, I know. I would bitch about it all the time. I remember when we switched over and I lost my transcriptionist and I'm like, I didn't go to school to be like a secretary and now I have to do all this and now I have to enter these orders and now I have to do, I'm doing the job that I used to hire someone to do to make my life more efficient. And the patient, like I would complain about it all the time. And you're right. It just seemed to get worse.
But there's another really critical piece to this puzzle other than the efficiency piece. There's the quality piece.
Yes.
And the quality of note-taking goes down dramatically because either I type less stuff in there than I actually need to communicate appropriately, or you're just mindlessly clicking boxes to make stuff go away. And so case in point, our son had allergy shots when he was a little kid. And so they wanted to order an EpiPen so that there was an EpiPen there, you know, in case he had a reaction to the allergy shots. Well, the clinic could have bought the EpiPen, but they'll get it covered if they run it through his insurance. So the only way you can run it through the insurance is you have to have a diagnosis tied to that prescription. So they just kept clicking boxes until it went through. So he gets labeled with a diagnosis of anaphylaxis. Well, the kid wants to be a military officer. You know, they don't like anaphylaxis very much in the military, right? You know, you get a bee sting and die, like it doesn't work well. So we have to now, because of one box clicked in an EMR, we have to go back and provide, you know, documentation that this was a factitious thing from when he was 8 years old and, it, you know, or else his dream of being an officer is gone. Like it's complete, like that's one tiny thing. And I can tell you that happens every single day.
And by the way, like you said, if you take the 30,000 feet view, yes, all of these paperwork makes practitioners miserable. It's a worse experience for the patient, but also it drives up the costs. If you look at the data behind what is behind the explosion in healthcare costs in the US, it's not doctors who are making 5x more money today than they were in the 70s. It's mostly administrative overhead. Right. So that is what makes me so passionate about letting AI just finally solve this for people.
Okay, let's talk about that. So do you have any numbers on like what it costs on average for scribes versus letting it be run through AI, like the cost savings is?
Yeah. So, you know, most people either they take the notes themselves or they have a nurse to take the notes for them. So a nurse fully loaded is basically going to cost $75 an hour or something like that. And, you know, you're basically saving $75 an hour for, you know, our starting plan starts at $99 a month, right? And so that's just like, you basically pay it off after like one consultation.
It's no kidding.
Yeah, the ROI is dramatic. And that's just with the notes. Like, we're just getting started here. Like I said, eventually we aspire for Lindy to automate the bulk of the paperwork that is entailed across the board in these healthcare operations.
That's huge. So I'm kind of getting back to, because I want to get into a little bit more of the nitty gritty on how Lindy works. And so is it like, it's kind of like Siri when you talk to Siri on your phone, so that if it learns, how do you like exactly teach it to improve things? Like you could look at the note and go back and say, Lindy, next time, can you move this here and there? And it goes, okay. And it just knows that.
That's exactly right. That's the beauty of these modern AI systems is it's all just a conversation. I think the conversation is just the most intuitive mode of interaction for humans. Just that's how people want to interact and that's how you want to interact with your systems. And so, yes, if you want your lady to do something different, you don't have to go to the menus or click around. You can just have a conversation with her and be like, hey, next time, I would love for the assessment section to be longer. I would love for you to talk to me in bullet points. If my patient is talking about an eye issue, I want you to format your return in this way, and so on and so forth.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you explain to us, elaborate a little bit how, like the what the technology, in a simple term, is how the technology works behind that? I mean, because it just seems.
Tell us everything you know about large language models.
It is large language models. And so the architecture to make it self-improve is a little bit of a secret sauce, but Lindy, at a high level, saves your feedback to a database. And every time she receives a new task, retrieves from the database the feedback that is relative to that task and takes it into account. And then under the hood, it is a large language model that is powering Lindy.
So this sounds really dumb, but like, where is this housed? Like, is there just like a gigantic server farm someplace? Is it like in Bill Gates' basement in Bellevue? Like, how does that work?
It's in the cloud. So we're all hosted on Google Cloud. It's the same sort of server infrastructure on top of which all of Google runs, like Gmail and Google Search and all of that. So the security is just extreme, which we really appreciate for this use case. And, you know, the Google Cloud's got data centers all over the place. And so that's, I think, the ones where we're hosted are in California, in San Jose. And if you've been to these places, it's like this huge server farm, like as far as the eye can see, just machine upon machine upon machine.
Wow.
Yeah, there's one up in the Columbia Gorge in the Dalles. Google has a server farm there, and we've ridden our bicycles by it a few times, and it's pretty staggering because they love it because it's dry and you have access to water, so you can cool these things if you need to. So it's a really good system in that regard. So
let's talk. I wanted to talk about, you know, because a lot of patients are going to wonder like how these are. Not, I wouldn't say accurate enough, but even HIPAA compliant. Like, yeah, I guess you partially answered that question because, but when I hear it goes in the cloud, and I'm like, okay, is that hackable? What are the protections?
Well, it doesn't go in the cloud. It goes straight to the CIA, obviously.
For backup purposes. We are HIPAA compliant. All the data is encrypted at rest and in transit. Doctors, we have an unusual feature, which is, as a practitioner, you can go on Lindy and you can delete any particular conversation. And once you delete it, it is actually deleted from all of our systems, irrecoverably so. You cannot recover it once you've done that. You cannot undo. And even we ourselves cannot look at the data that you've deleted, even for debugging. Sometimes users have been like, hey, I deleted this task, but there was an issue. Can you look into it? And we're like, we can't really look into it once you've deleted it, which is by design. We pay a ton of attention to the security and the privacy. I would even say like unusually so for a startup. I was catching up with friend founders of mine and we were talking about our respective problems. And I was telling them about all that we were investing to make sure that it was super secure, super encrypted, super, like the privacy was really taken super seriously. And they were like, well, yeah, that's not something that we have to deal with. And I'm like, yeah, because we're dealing with healthcare data here. Like, right. This is sensitive stuff, and we take that super seriously. I mean, I go to the doctor too. I'm human. Like, I would hate to see my data when I go to the doctor be leaked, God knows where. So that's something we take super seriously, and we built a lot of infrastructure and a lot of tech and tooling to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
So honestly, I mean, it would be even more safe than having the scribe or the nurse, or a third party in there transcribing. Or someone who, you know, gets the little tape recorder and can hear it because it's now a computer.
No one else
is hearing it other than between you and your physician if they're the only one in there.
Yeah, it would be literally infinitely more secure because you have less people involved in the data, which is massive. So I go in to see a patient. Lindy is what? In a computer, on my phone? How am I interfacing with the cloud?
It's either. So Lindy is in the cloud. You can access the application through whether it's a desktop computer, your web browser, or your application. We are releasing an iOS and Android application. In the meantime, so the application is coming out in 1 or 2 weeks. In the meantime, you can just access her on your mobile web browser. You click on new consultation, new visit. There's a big mic button in the center. You press the button. You have your consultation just naturally. When you're done, you press the button again. And in, I think it takes like 2 or 3 seconds, you get your note that is customized and takes into account the feedback that you've given previously.
So when you're doing the physical exam, you have to speak to the AI, right? So you'd be telling the patient, when I'm going to listen to your chest and I'm going to talk to the scribe, basically. So chest is clear, heart. I mean, if you don't want to put the exam in later, if you want to do it in real time, you obviously have to speak.
Verbalize it. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, Lindy cannot see, least not yet. So she can only hear, and the only information that she can use is what she hears. So yes, you would have to verbalize what's going on during the consultation.
Yeah, but I think patients would appreciate that, to be perfectly honest with you. I think they like that.
In certain cases, we have worked with doctors who work in an office where, you know, it's this the separation between the consultations is not like a wall to ceiling, a floor to ceiling wall. It's like these like little cubicles. And so they're mindful about what they verbalize when they see something on the patient. So another thing you can do is that Lindy transcribes and listens to the conversation. After the conversation, you can also stop the transcription and you get a chance before Lindy gives you the note to add anything manually in there. So if there was something that was too sensitive to say out loud, you can just go stop the recording and manually enter some notes that then are taken into account into the SOAP notes.
Oh, that's actually really pertinent because you're right. Sometimes there's things that, you know, especially on a skin exam, I guess it could be difficult, or I'm thinking of, you're right, sensitive things, commenting on patients' body habitus, odor, you know, mental status, that could be a sensitive subject after doing a mental status exam, that kind of a thing. So that's nice that you can add that in later. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's another thing. There's another thing I think that's really powerful is if the patient wants to, they can leave with the note.
Yes.
Which is a really, really powerful patient empowerment tool. And I encourage a lot. I mean, because I recently saw a pilot and I told him, I said, you should leave with your notes every day, or you should like call them and get them like, you know, the next day or whatever. You should have 100% control over your medical record because weird stuff gets in there that can affect your ability to fly. And that's a huge deal. That's your entire livelihood. It's been your entire career. And I know how easy it is to have stuff fumble through the EMR. And to be able to leave with, you know, not just instructions, but the actual note, I think is, you know, great. People can track their weight on there. I mean, it's all of
right.
it.
And with people traveling, the way we live life and people going all over, you might be in an urgent care as physicians all over. It is nice because I'm in that process. We've moved across the country and I'm trying to access my medical records, and it's a process because depends how they transfer them. Some places use a really good service, takes like a week. Other places, it's like a month and it's taking them to get these things sent over. They send it to me, not to the specialist I'm seeing. It's just like a nightmare. So to have it right away is huge, which is really nice. Yes.
And to your point, to be able to send them to the patient, which very often they appreciate, Lindy can also, I was talking about the customization options. You can very much tell Lindy, hey, I want you to not only give me notes, but I would also love for you to draft a follow-up email to the patient that I can then send after the consultation. And that is also a pretty big improvement to the patient experience.
So how difficult is it to have? So Lindy will actually email the patient the notes, or is it a print off only, or both?
It can be both. So today, what we've seen doctors prefer is Lindy just shows you the email. She just drafts the email that you can send to the patient, and then you copy and paste that and send it in the email. If you want, Lindy can also integrate with your email client and send it directly, but we typically see people prefer to see the draft first.
Right, right. No, that makes sense. Absolutely. Wonderful. So, anything sort of coming in the future as far as the tech of what you see coming? Like, how about, we've asked before, you know, how is it going to integrate with EMRs, ordering labs, imaging, studies, specialist notes? Is that going to evolve with time, or is that too difficult to do?
The technology is constantly getting better. And so that's definitely what we're aiming for. right? So deeper integrations into EMRs, just expanding to other medical workflows. So billing, I mentioned that we have ICD-10 coding support, appointment booking in the future and following up. Imagery is also coming, like the multimodal models are here, where they are able to manipulate not just language, but also images and to actually understand the images. We're currently piloting a Lindy with a customer where she does literature review. So the customer can go back and forth between his medical scribe Lindy and the Lindy that goes online and looks for studies for specific conditions that the doctor just encountered. We also have this ability, I get very excited about stuff as an engineer, but Lindys can now talk to one another. And so in the future, you could very well imagine your medical scribe Lindy talk to the Lindy that handles your billing, talk to the Lindy that does this online research for you. And so all of this army of AI virtual employees just do your work for you in the background, and you can just focus on what you want to focus, which is taking care of patients.
Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking.
And
that
then,
would be pretty
neat. Starnet became self-aware.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem pretty natural that if you send a patient a note or a follow-up through an email, then Lindy could hyperlink to, you're right, like a condition or definitions of things or to like the medications, and it takes you to a link with a, you know, in pictures of the pills or of the medicine or side effect profile. I mean, you could, that just seems pretty basic, but you're right, having them talk to each other to do everything else.
Well, like my imagination just starts going wild. Like these patients come in and then it's like, what are you taking? I don't know. It's a blue pill. And you're just like, okay, what's it for? And you just go, show me blue antihypertensive medications. Boom.
Yes.
The pictures show up. You show the patient. Which one is it? I think it's that one. You know, at least you got a chance. And it's there virtually instantly. Like that's, you know, whereas before, I mean, it's so funny.
We're going to write ourselves out of a job.
Well, fine with me. But it's interesting because like our son said, how did you finish medical school with YouTube? And I said, well, we went to the library.
Google.
Yeah, we went to the library.
Yeah.
And it was like they literally had medical librarians who were professionals. Like a lot of these people had master's level degrees in how to look stuff up in a medical library and how to find a specific journal. And then you have to sign that journal out because they might have only had one copy of that particular journal. And they knew who had it. And then you read whatever, you took your notes, and then you gave it back. And you think now, okay, so now you can look anything up on UpToDate, and it's, you know, pretty much the most best collated medical information. Well, now we're going one step further. So you see a patient with pityriasis rosea, and you're like, show me the newest articles. What's the most effective treatment? What shouldn't I do? And it's just, you're just talking to it, and then it's there.
Yes. And to go back to your point earlier regarding, we have so much more paperwork now because we have so much more technology, and that technology isn't good. And there's so much more administrativity around the medical work. I think the most advanced form of technology has got technology disappear in the background. Like you don't care about technology, right? You want the technology to disappear. And I think we went through a phase here where like that is not the technology that we've been giving doctors. The technology very much did not disappear. If anything, it made their work worse.
Yes.
Right? And I think that we're finally fixing that. And now we're actually having technology where the doctor focuses on the patient. That is why they exist. That is what they want to do. And then all the admin work disappears and is taken care of by the AI and by the computers. And so ultimately, we always say, we want you to leave your clinic with your last patient. There should be nothing else for you to do than just see your patient. So you don't have to type anymore. You don't have to update your EMR. You don't have to do all of this billing stuff. You can just take care of your patients, and all the other stuff just happens for you in the background.
May gets upset when I leave with the last patient, though.
Sorry.
No, I understand. So
here's my thing, though, because as I get older and all this tech gets more fancy, I'm thinking, okay, now I got to learn this. You pretty much have described that, you know, you talk to it, it learns. You just talk back like you're having a conversation. What's that? I wouldn't say average amount of time, but when someone gets, you know, it's $99 a month, you come to get this system. What is the learning curve? Like, how long would I have to sit down and practice and play with it to figure it out if I'm starting for the first time? And how long on average do people spend till they get it kind of customized and say, this is working great?
You know, it's such a simple product. It's really a button. The product is a button that is start recording, stop recording.
Wow.
And so people tend to get it immediately. And so there's a wow effect here where it's like you press a button and then you press it again and you see the soap notes after 2 or 3 seconds. The people are like, oh, wow, okay, this is great, right? And so, yes, starting from there, you can customize it. You can make the notes better. But the first note is already a hell of a lot better than what you would have done if you take it manually, right? So it doesn't really take much time at all. It takes like a matter of minutes for you to understand how it works and to just adapt it.
So it's easier than using your new iPhone, whatever the latest model is, and learning all the new buttons and
text. Do you have to get consent from the patient because it is being recorded?
Oh, there you go. Good question.
Yes, and we take that super seriously. We offer a guide to doctors on what is the best way to do that. And obviously, patients should always have a chance to opt out of that. But most of the time, patients actually appreciate that because, again, they get to have a doctor who's more present during the consultation.
Yeah. Well, and they're not getting consent for the scribe, for the human scribe, which you're not getting, when you think about that, I mean, again, this is common, especially in specialty clinics and ERs and whatnot, but you know, the scribe has, you know, minimal medical knowledge. They're not a nurse. Obviously they're trained, they understand HIPAA, all that kind of stuff, but they're helping to produce your medical record, and they are often people with some of the least amount of training, and not always, but often. And so, I mean, I don't know that patients really understand that. Like, they just see this extra person in the room and they have no idea who's really producing the note.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing that surprised me as I dove into this problem space is I found out, perhaps it's obvious to you guys, I found out that a lot of doctors actually outsource the scribing to countries like the Philippines or India. There's a lot of agencies out there. And so, yes, you're a patient. You've got someone on the line, literally on the line, because the doctor dials this assistant in the Philippines. And you've got someone in the Philippines whom you don't even see listening to your conversation and taking notes. And that's a very, very personal conversation again. So, I do believe that even from a privacy standpoint, it is very often a net gain.
Well, yeah, I think clearly, and it is like it's interesting too, because we had this conversation with another physician on our show, and the whole concept of algorithmic work, like algorithmic work is going to be 100% taken over by AI. It's just common sense as far as I'm concerned. And so people go, well, like May said, we're going to be worked out of a job. And I said, no, you're not, unless you're an algorithmic doctor, because it's not going to dehumanize medicine. It's going to rehumanize medicine, because the part that I bring is the human aspect that people desperately want. Yes. The interface we have now gets in the way of that. So I firmly believe appropriately used AI is going to rehumanize what we're doing. Now, if I was a radiologist, would I be worried? Yes, because AI can read x-rays very quickly and very accurately. If I was a surgeon, I don't know, maybe robots are coming, but that's, I think, still a long ways off for people to adopt it. But if you want to connect with people, you have to get the encumbrances out of the way. And this allows you to connect with patients. I see 35, 40, 45 patients a day. And just to be able to connect with them, even for a brief time, and have it be a more human interaction is unbelievably valuable.
Yes. And to your point, I always say it's, you know, people are always afraid that robots are going to steal people's jobs. I always say it's people who've been stealing robots' jobs. I think humans have no business taking these notes all day and updating their EMR and clicking around. Like, I think you humans can just bring so much more value. So I love what you just said. I totally agree. It's going to rehumanize medicine.
I love your quote, humans have no business doing what robots can do, because it's the truth, and it's the reason, you know, so many of us burn out and leave, and that is so huge.
Well, yeah, but it's just going to be the Terminators, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It's always the fear. Like, it's weird. Like, it's just this, like, and again, you know, you can love it, you can hate it, you can fear it, you can whatever. It doesn't, but you can't avoid it. Like, that's the point. You can't avoid this. So it's way better to be, I'd much rather be on board and an early adopter and, you know, potentially help this change how healthcare is done, than just be the Chicken Little and stick my head in the sand and go, well, you know, whatever, robots are going to take my job. No. People don't want to see robots. They want to see human beings. They want a real human connection, even if it's for a cold. That's really what they want. That service, like even Costco, we went and bought a TV, and this guy was explaining to us, this is why you should buy this. It's so much better. You're going to save. I mean, it was, that human interaction was amazing. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I just order it online and somebody drop it off at my house.
Yeah. And you know, even in the case of the radiologist, we have interviewed radiologists and they're not worried. Because there's just so much more that the radiologist does than just like look at the radio and say this does this and this and that issue. And there is this quote that I love that is, a computer cannot be held accountable, hence a computer should never be left to make a decision autonomously. There should always be a human in the loop. And so I think for that alone, having doctors who understand what the computer is doing and why it's doing that and can override the computer's notes and the computer's diagnostics, I think is going to be critical.
I love that. No, good point. Okay, so here's, you know, I'm like, this is an obvious one. We haven't even talked about it. What about languages? So we're all assuming this is all in English. Lindy for Spanish, translating, I mean, Chinese. Does it do any language? Is there an issue?
It works with 13 languages. So all the major ones, I mean, Spanish, Italian, French, Russian, Chinese, Mandarin and Cantonese, multiple dialects in India, I forgot the names. So yes, it is multiple.
Okay. Wonderful. And then the last thing I'm thinking of a friend of mine, would there ever be a visible component for sign language, or is that just too impossible at this point?
It's not impossible. I actually think the technology is there today. It's yet to be incorporated in products like Lindy, but certainly I think in a year or so, it will be able to interpret this kind of image.
Wow.
So could it can it act as a translator?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have an Lindy translator.
Because that's a really big deal. Like the way it works now, because legally we have to provide a non-family based translator.
It's like you said, you get on the phone with a third party. Oh my goodness.
It has to be a third. Like technically, I mean, it doesn't happen this way because most people want their, you know, son or daughter to translate for them. But technically, according to the law, it has to be a third party medical translator. So it's somebody that's trained in medical translation. And if you could, it's kind of clunky. But if you can have AI do that, where I can speak English, the patient gets an immediate translation, and it comes back, you know, they're speaking whatever other language, and then it still makes the note, like that's just a complete mind blower.
Yeah.
And a time save.
So the translator is one of the Lindys that we offer. So the way Lindy works is that when you sign up, you've got the Lindy Medical Scribe ready to talk to you, but you've also got a Lindy's Tool tab. Well, you can go, it's kind of like the app store, right, on your iPhone, where you can download all sorts of applications to do all sorts of jobs for you. Here, it's the same. It's a bunch of AI employees that are specialized in different things. And so one of them is going to be medical scribe. One of them is going to be translator. One of them is going to be billing and coding. And another one is going to be online research and so on and so forth. And so, yes, all of those are templates that we offer today.
I love that.
There should be one for cleaning the garage.
You know, I don't think we're going to be the ones doing it, but that's also coming. I think robots are also coming.
Yeah, for sure. Make me a sandwich.
I'm buying you a robot for that.
Yes, you are.
Anything. So obviously, people can try and they can test it out, correct? Is there a trial period that you offer?
That's Lindy? Correct. Yeah. There's a 7 days free trial that we offer.
It sounds like a no-brainer to me, and that you don't need 7 days. It sounds like it's really fast to learn. And so they go to Lindy, that's lindy.ai.com, 7-day free trial, and then it's a $99 a month startup. And then is the more tools you add on and customize, does then that increase the price, or does it depend on what drives the cost up, I guess is my question.
It depends on the volume of consultations. So it does not depend on the number of Lindys that you're using. The $99 a month plan supports up to 20 consultations a day, which is plenty. Beyond that, you've got to upgrade to the $199 a plan. And yes, the domain is lindy.ai, not .com. But yes.
Oh, got Lindy. It. Yeah, lindy.ai.
And then we have the www.lindy.ai/BS free. You can come through there, that portal, so people know where they heard of it.
Right. Anything that we missed that you want to add to the conversation?
No, I think this is it, right? I think like folks who just stop typing, stop doing digital work and start being with their patients.
Exactly. Stop typing, except type in lindy.ai/BSFreeMD and BS free. And go there and sign up now. and change and transform your life, your career, your patients' lives, because AI is here, and you might as well jump on board now and don't burn out like I did. So thank you for being here, Flo, and explaining, and thank you for, honestly, I mean, this is like a mission for people, for us in medicine, for patients, for really changing and transforming healthcare and making it better so that, you know, we're keeping physicians around, we're changing the experience for the patient and bringing the humanity back, taking out the clunkiness. So I really thank you for what you've done, because this is huge. And so I don't know if you get thanks for it, but it really is like more than just buying a product. It really means a lot.
I appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me.
That wraps up another episode of BS for MD. A huge thank you to Flo Crivello for joining us today, who discussed the work being done at Lindy.ai. Mind-blowing stuff, kids. Buckle up. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you can find Flo and his team at www.lindy.ai/BSFree. And AI scribes like Lindy and AI all over is paving the way for more efficient, accurate, and humane medical documentation with amazing ability to have patient interaction again. For everybody else, thank you for listening again and tuning in. In the world of medicine, it's important to keep it real, but just as important it is to keep it BS free. And before we log off, I have to do the shout out again. This time we're shouting out and thanking Adina O. Thanks for writing us. We love the book recommendation. Love that you took the time to reach out to us, check in. Thanks for staying involved, staying engaged, and helping us feel like we're making a difference in this weird world. So thanks for writing back about the post on Facebook as well.
I'm thinking we should be doing shout outs like shouting. Like, thank you!
I'm sure they'd appreciate you yelling in their ear.
Wouldn't that be?
I think they like the calm, soothing. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, like the guy working in the FM studio at 2:30 in the morning. I've just finished my third pot of coffee and I'm on my fourth pack of cigarettes. And here's a song by Steely Dan.
Take it away, Steely Dan.
All right. Okay. See you guys later.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD. To mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BSFreeMD. See you next time.
While we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible, we can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.